So somewhere in my top five favorite movie list, you know what? I'm going to go ahead out on a limb here and say my top three favorite all-time movie list is 1975's Academy Award winner, Jaws. Even though Jaws is the reason I will never get in the ocean. And no, there is not enough money or sweet talking or candy or booze that's ever going to get me in there. But I enjoy sitting on the sand and looking at it from afar. I just know from seeing this movie that there are things with fins swimming around in there. Anyway, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when the nerdy marine biologist and the grizzled sea captain, who have nothing in common but their dislike of one another, finally find common ground in showing each other their scars. Each takes a turn, pulling up a sleeve or a pant leg, showing a scar from a bar fight or some seafaring disaster. And although that's just a story, I can remember my close-knit group of friends when I worked in production at a television studio. When we would go out after a long night of working, we'd all kind of reenact this scene by accident because we'd all been hit by some falling instrument or burned by a light or something. We all had some kind of scar from the industry that we, you know, carried around as a badge of honor. But there are some scars that we have that we just don't uncover to our friends, right? The ones that are covered in controversy and shadowed by shame. Or the ones that we carry inside from a broken home or a broken heart. Scars from wounds that never got attention in the first place, and they healed up all weird and bumpy, and they still hurt when you touch them. Scars on the inside or out are part of us, like a little story that's attached to us, our bodies or our souls. Scars that we carry around but don't talk about, hide away, and sometimes these scars create barriers to God and to others. Today, our gospel is yet another account of post-resurrection Jesus appearing in body to disciples who are so startled they think they've seen a ghost. And they doubt the truth that he's alive, but Jesus assures them that he's real and he's really alive. And to prove it, he shows them his hands and his feet, complete with the scars of crucifixion. He speaks to them as he appears to them, but it's not his voice that they immediately recognize. It's when they see those discolored and rough places in his flesh. His best friends really come to know him by those marks. It's such a mystery of faith to me that Jesus in his resurrected, glorified body is this divine Son of God, Savior, human body that was dead and came back to life and still has the scars of his violent mistreatment and his death. It seems that in the miracle of resurrection, as breath was restored to his lifeless body and the cells were regenerated and the processes that happen after you die were reversed, that his wounds would have been healed completely with no trace of what had happened, that his skin would have been as good as new with no sign of trauma. But that's not how God works. That's not how life works. I had a friend named Eddie that was helping me dig a garden in the churchyard back in Memphis, and we both had shovels and we were just digging away. And when we were through, we were comparing the blisters on our hands because we were too stubborn to stop and get work gloves. And when I was looking at his hands, I noticed this scar, very pronounced scar on his hand. And I asked him about it and he said, you know, it's not very big, but it saved my life. You see, Eddie's father was an alcoholic, and in a fit of rage, he He tried to hit a young boy when Eddie was young. He tried to hit him on the head. And his hand went up to protect himself, and it was cut. And Eddie, a recovering alcoholic and drug addict himself, who has suffered his entire life battling depression and homelessness, said to me, "It just reminds me that I might get hurt, but I won't stay broken." Wounds that are open need immediate and diligent care, but scars are signs of healing, that nature is working, signs that recovery is possible. These signs are important for the disciples to see that we cannot change the trauma of what just happened, but we can heal. St. Thomas Aquinas said that Jesus kept his scars not from the inability to heal them, but to wear them as an everlasting trophy of his victory. But as part of that assertion, I believe, is to recognize Jesus's humanity and his sacrifice. In the prayers that we're going to say in just a few minutes before communion, you'll hear me say that God, in his mercy, sent Jesus Christ to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to God, and that Christ offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. He was wounded for us, and he came back, resurrected and restored and perfect, but still with scars. Scars that tell a story of resurrection. I might get hurt, but I won't stay broken. I think that phrase sums it up really, because we might get hurt physically and emotionally, but we won't stay broken because God is the genesis of the rest of our stories, the ones that include resurrection. Psalm 147:3 says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Wounds that may end up scars, but they will heal all the same. Our wounds at some point were our downfalls, but our scars tell of Christ's ability to rise us up. Our scars then become beacons of hope. As Jesus shows us his scars today, we, like the disciples, recognize our risen Lord. And his scars tells us that God knows and cares and understands about our suffering. Through God's grace, we don't have to hide our scars. In fact, we can use them to connect with others when we show them, to find common ground through them. Because our scars, just as Christ's, can become beautiful and holy, convincing a doubting world that it will not stay broken.